Howdy, howdy. This is Lily from Makecraft Game, and you're listening to Season 3 of Reading Rulebooks. If you're listening on YouTube, make sure to like, comment, and subscribe, and check out makecraftgame.com for more content. This season, I accidentally planned a ton of Nitzia games, so I figured, why not dive in and do a whole Nitzia season? Today's Nitzia game is The Quest for El Dorado, The Golden Temples. This is a game that can be played standalone or in combination with the Quest for El Dorado base game and the first expansion, Heroes and Hexes. Description: You are a group of bold adventurers who have reached El Dorado, the legendary land of gold. Slip into the role of brave expedition leaders and guide your team through the Lost Kingdom. Choose your expedition members and equipment wisely to give you the best chance of outwitting your opponents and be the first on the hunt for unlimited treasure. The first player to collect the three gems in the three golden temples and return with them to the treasure chamber wins the treasure of El Dorado and the game. Before continuing with these instructions, I'm going to switch over to game setup, which is a secondary page that is included in the game. Game setup. For your first game, assemble the route as shown on the game setup page. For later games, design your own routes or use one of our recommended routes on the other side of the sheet. Start with setting up the game, then continue reading the manual. A. Your first game. 1. The race begins on the starting tile. 2. Look for the three terrain tiles shown in the illustration. They are double-sided, so you might need to turn them over, rotate, and lay out the tiles as shown on the image. The example for the game setup for a first game uses tiles 1A, 2B, 3B, and 4B. Lay out the temple tiles as shown below. On each temple tile, place 4 gems of one color. 4. Shuffle the 8 guardian tokens and place one face-down token on each guardian space. Put the rest back into the box without looking at them. 5. Shuffle the 6 blockades face-down. Place one random blockade on each connection between two terrain tiles, then turn it face up. Put any unused blockades back into the box. 6. Final destination, treasure chamber. B. Game materials. Each player chooses a color and takes the matching 2 playing pieces, 1 expedition board, base deck cards, 2 students, 2 photographers, 2 travelers, 1 scout, and 1 skipper, with the triangle in the bottom right corner. Shuffle your deck and set it out as your draw pile. Before your first turn, draw 4 cards from your deck. Whoever sat down first at the table goes first. That player receives the starting player hat and places one of their playing pieces on starting space number 1 of the starting tile. Each other player, in clockwise turn order, place their playing pieces on the next empty starting space. The second playing piece is only used in the 2-player game. In that case, the starting player places their pieces on the starting spaces 1 and 3, the other player on 2 and 4. C. Marketplace. Last but not least, prepare the marketplace. Every game must be played with all 54 expedition cards. Sort the cards face up and put the 18 different card types in piles in the middle of the table, like the example on the game setup page. Place the 6 piles with a dot in the bottom right corner next to each other on the market board. Place the other 12 piles without a symbol next to the market board. Put a pile of gold coins next to the market as a global supply. Your race to the golden temples can begin. We will now continue reading the manual. How the game works. Each player starts with a face-down deck of cards, their expedition, to draw from. At the beginning of the game, your deck consists of the following 8 cards: 2 travelers, 2 photographers, 2 students, 1 scout, and 1 skipper. This is your draw pile. You start each turn with 4 cards in hand. Use expedition cards to move through the temple complex or hire more people for your expedition. Structure of an expedition card. At the top is the name. Underneath the card name is the power. The color and symbol will also indicate which type of terrain tile or how they interact with the other parts of the game. The cost on the bottom center is the purchase price. And in the bottom right is a setup symbol. Turn structure. Each player's turn consists of three phases. Phase 1, play cards. Play cards to move your expedition or to buy new cards. Phase 2, discard player. Put all played cards on your discard pile. Phase 3, draw cards. Draw cards until you have 4 cards in hand. The player with the starting player hat token starts the race and completes all 3 phases. Then, it's the next player's turn in clockwise turn order. Your goal is to collect the 3 gems in the 3 golden temples and be the first to reach the treasure chamber of El Dorado. Phase 1, play cards. Play any number of cards from your hand to A, move your playing piece, and or B, buy up to 1 new card for your expedition. Each card in your hand can only be used once per turn. First, play cards that you want to use for moving. Use the rest of your cards to buy up to 1 new card. A, movement. The path through El Dorado leads through different types of terrain. Landscape, green, yellow, blue, torch, orange, and base camp, red. Each hex shows the requirements you have to meet to move onto it. The more symbols depicted on the space, the more difficult it is to move there. The number of symbols equal the space's power. Landscape and torch spaces. Play 1 card from your hand and place it above your expedition board. Most cards have a power value. Use it to move 1 or more spaces of the same type adjacent to the position of your playing piece. Then you may play another card to make an additional move. Any played cards must meet 2 requirements. 1. The symbol on the card must match the color/symbol on the hex space that you want to move to. 2. The power value of the card must be equal or higher than the power of this space. If both conditions are met, you can move on to it. If you have leftover power, you may use it to continue moving to the next space. The same 2 requirements apply, but you first subtract the power you have already spent from the played card's power value. You can stop moving at any time. In that case, you lose any unspent power immediately. Important: you cannot combine multiple cards to move onto a landscape space with a higher power value. Example: Sarah plays a scout and moves onto the power 2 jungle space. The scout has 2 green power, or jungle power, therefore it is completely used. Then she plays a traveler and advances 1 yellow space. A traveler is worth 1 gold or 1 yellow. Finally, she plays a gentleman and advances 2 torch spaces. The gentleman has a power of 2 jungle or 2 torch. Only 1 power can be used when playing the card. Special spaces. To move onto a base camp space, use any card from your hand. The number of symbols on the space indicates the number of cards you need to play. The identity of those cards is irrelevant. Cards you play to move onto a base camp space aren't discarded. Instead, they are completely removed from the game. They won't be used again this game. Hint: this is a great way to get rid of weak cards from your deck and keep your expedition lean. This makes it possible for you to keep drawing your best cards with the highest power level. Important: you can never move onto mountains, black, or spaces that are already occupied by another playing piece. B. Buy new cards. You can buy up to 1 card per turn, whether you have moved this turn or not. Yellow cards with a coin symbol are worth their power. All other cards are worth 1/2 a coin each. Play any number of cards to add their values together. This is the total amount of money you can spend on the new card. Choose a card on the market board that you can afford and put it face up in your discard pile. You cannot use that card during this turn, nor put it directly in your hand. This card will eventually be shuffled into your draw pile together with the rest of your discard pile. Example: John decides not to move this turn and only buy a card. First, he plays all the cards from his hand. 1 traveler, which is 1 coin, 1 photographer, which is 2 coins, 1 scout, which is 1/2 a coin, and 1 student, which is 1/2 a coin. Then he adds up their coin values to get 4 coins. John can now afford any card from the market board that costs 4 or less coins. He chooses the scroll, which has a purchase price of 4 coins, and puts it on his discard pile. How can I buy the rest of the expedition cards? At the beginning of the game, you may choose from any of the 6 different expedition card piles on the market board. Once all 3 cards of a pile have been sold, you gain access to cards next to the market board. If there is at least 1 vacant spot on the market board, you may choose any expedition card that you can afford, even if it isn't on the market board. If the chosen card is from one of the piles next to the market board, place its pile on the vacant spot. Each time there is a vacant spot on the market board, you have access to all face-up expedition cards. Special cards, items. These cards are marked by a crossed-out card symbol. Item cards can only be played once per game. After an item card is used, remove it from the game, put it back into the box. Do not place it in your discard pile. Exception. If you play an item card without using its function, i.e. to spend it as half a coin, place it above the expedition board after you've played it, then put it onto your discard pile. Cards with prices in black. These cards can only be purchased. It is not allowed to take those cards when using an effect or ability, only relevant for the combined game. Phase 2, discard cards. At the end of your turn, put all cards you've placed above your expedition board during phase 1, i.e. all the cards you played excluding any cards that were completely removed from the game, face up on your discard pile. If you still have cards in your hand, experts or items, you can now choose to keep them in your hand for next turn or discard them as well. You may decide for each card individually. Phase 3, draw cards. Finally, draw cards from your draw pile until you have 4 cards in your hand. Your draw pile is empty. If your draw pile doesn't contain enough cards to draw for your next turn, draw as many as possible. Then, shuffle your discard pile to form your new draw pile. Then, draw the rest of the cards you need. Blockades. Blockades are obstacles on your path. The first player who wants to pass a blockade must overcome it by fulfilling its power requirements. To do that, play cards from your hand just like you would for movement, or let each other player perform an action, i.e. draw a card, remove a card from their hand, from the game, etc. The player who removed the blockade gets to keep it. Use blockades as a tiebreaker at the end of the game. After a blockade has been removed, all players may now freely enter the previously blocked spaces. Blockades work very similar to hex spaces, except you cannot move onto them. For example, you can use a professor, Torch 5, to meet the blockade's Torch 1 requirement, then continue moving onto an adjacent orange space, if there is one. The other symbols on the blockade work just like guardian symbols. A cave token or a guardian behind a blockade cannot be reached or is inactive until the blockade has been removed. Gold coins. Gold coins match the value of coins on cards and has the same function as the Traveler. Collect gold coins next to your player board. Whenever you gain a gold coin, take it from the supply. Whenever you spend a gold coin, return it to the supply. You cannot own more than 3 gold coins. You may spend a gold coin to move onto a yellow landscape space with a coin symbol. You cannot use multiple gold coins or a combination of gold coins and cards for movement. When you purchase a card, you may use any number of gold coins. You have the option of using a mix of gold coins and hand cards to pay for a card. Sometimes during the game, you will be asked to pay gold coins. You cannot use cards to pay for these effects. Important! During your turn, if you neither move your expedition, that includes removing a blockade, nor purchase a card from the market, you may take 1 gold coin from the supply at the end of your turn, unless you already own 3 gold coins. Guardian. If your expedition comes to a halt next to a guardian after completing a movement, i.e. after using up a card, do the following. 1. If the guardian token is still face down, reveal it. The token stays face up until the end of the game. 2. Activate the guardian. You do not need to play a card to activate a guardian. Each guardian has its own power. The four powers include 1. Each other player gets a gold coin. Always remember that no player may own more than 3 gold coins. 2. Each other player may draw a card. If your discard pile is empty, first shuffle the discard pile as usual, then draw. 3. Each other player in turn order may remove a card from their hand completely from the game. Put it back in the box. This action is optional. 4. You lose all your gold coins. Return them to the global supply. Note, once you have activated a guardian by stopping next to it, a subsequent movement that ends next to the same guardian will not activate the guardian again. However, if your expedition has moved away from the guardian and has come back to stop on a space that is not adjacent to the guardian is reset. The next time your expedition comes to a halt next to that guardian, it will be activated again. Temples and gems. Each temple has 3 spaces. If your expedition comes to a halt on a temple space after completing a movement, i.e. after using up a card, you collect 1 gem. You can only collect 1 gem from each temple. Place the gems in front of you. End of the game. Once a player has collected 1 gem from each of the 3 temples and then reached the treasure chamber, the final round of the game begins. That player removes their playing piece to make space in the treasure chamber. Each player left in that round will now play their final turn. Once that round is completed, the game is over. If only one player has reached the treasure chamber, they win the game. What happens if the game is tied? If the final round ends up with multiple players reaching the treasure chamber, the player who has collected the most blockades wins the game. If there is still a tie, the player who's collected the blockade with the highest number wins. If none of these players has a blockade, the player who reached the treasure chamber first is the winner. Rules for 2 players. Assemble the game as usual. The rules for movement, market, and discarding are unchanged. Each player will get a second playing piece in their color. The starting player places their playing pieces on the starting spaces 1 and 3, the other player on 2 and 4. To win, you must reach the treasure chamber first with both of your pieces. If both players manage to reach El Dorado with their second playing piece during the final turn, use the normal tie-breaking rules. When moving for your turn, for each card you play, choose which playing piece that card applies to. Move that playing piece, then choose again for your next card. You cannot use a card for both of your playing pieces by splitting up its power. Also, all playing pieces still function as barriers. You can't move onto a space that is already occupied by another playing piece, even if it is your own. Example of a complete turn. Anne has these 4 cards in her hand. 1 traveler, 1 photographer, 1 jeep, and 1 gatherer. Phase 1, play cards. First, she plays the gatherer, takes 1 gold coin from the supply, and draws an additional card from her draw pile. She draws into a scroll. Next, Anne starts moving. She moves onto the adjacent base camp. To do that, she must remove 1 card from her hand. She chooses the traveler and removes it from the game. To continue moving, Anne plays the jeep item. She uses the 5 torch power from the jeep to move across the 5 adjacent single torch spaces. The jeep is removed from the game. Next, she plays the scroll and moves 2 more adjacent spaces. The scroll is also removed from the game. Anne uses her final card to buy a new card. She plays the photographer to gain 2 gold. Since there is a vacant spot on the market board, she can purchase any expedition card she likes. She chooses the hunter with a purchase price of 3. The photographer is only worth 2 coins, so she adds the gold coin she gained earlier this turn. She now has 3 coins and can buy the hunter. Anne puts the hunter face up on her discard pile and returns the gold coin to the global supply. Finally, she puts the remaining cards from the hunter pile on the vacant spot on the market board. Phase 2 and Phase 3. Anne puts all the cards that she has played this turn on her discard pile and draws 4 cards from her draw pile. Expanding the world of El Dorado. If you own the Quest for El Dorado base game, and perhaps also the Quest for El Dorado Heroes and Hexes expansion, you can combine them for a truly epic gaming experience. You can either combine the Quest for El Dorado with the Golden Temples, or, as an option, you can play with all three games at the same time. It is not possible to combine the Hero and Hexes expansion with just the Golden Temples, though. The setup sheet will show you example routes for the combined game. We recommend the combined game to all experienced expedition leaders. Each player gets the usual items from the base game, playing pieces, expedition board, and base game deck in their color. The base deck cards from the Golden Temples aren't used in the combined game. The new market. Each combined game is played with all cards of the base game and the chosen expansions. For example, if you play with the base game and the Quest for El Dorado, the Golden Temples, there are 36 different cards. Separate the cards into piles. Place the cards with the dot from the base game on the market board. Cards with the dot from the Quest for El Dorado, the Golden Temples, are added to all the other market cards. Base cards from the Golden Temples stay in the box. Of the remaining piles, take one card each and shuffle them into a replenishment deck. Draw 12 cards and place them next to the market board. For each of those, add the two other cards of the same type to form 12 piles of 3 cards each. The cards next to the market board are randomly selected each game, so that each game will be different. Place the replenishment deck face down next to the market board. The remaining cards can be set off to the side right now. As per the normal rules, whenever there is a vacant spot on the market board, you may purchase an expedition card from one of the piles next to the market board. If you do, place the rest of that pile onto the market board as usual. That will free a spot next to the market board. Draw the top card of the replenishment deck and place it on the vacant spot, together with its two other cards. The next time a player purchases a card from next to the market board, they will have the full range of 12 different cards to choose from. That way, new cards are continuously added to the game. End of the combined game. In the combined game, only two temples are used. The treasure chamber will open for you once you have collected two different gems. Cave tokens. In the combined game with the base game, cave tokens are optional. If you combine both games with the Heroes and Hexes expansion, cave tiles are mandatory. Creating your own routes. Of course, you can assemble your own routes for the combined game. For maximum fun, please refer to the tips and tricks on the setup sheet. Glossary. Expedition cards. Orange cards enable you to move onto torch spaces. Use the archaeologist to move across two adjacent torch spaces. Ignore the space's power. You can also use it to remove a corresponding blockade. Yellow cards give you coins to travel through villages or hire new expedition members. Green cards help you clear a path through the jungle. White cards are wild cards. They allow you to choose one of the 2 to 4 symbols whenever you play them: machete, paddle, coin, or torch. Each time you play a wild card, you can choose a different symbol. Action cards. Purple action cards can be played at any time during your turn, either while moving or while buying. Follow the card's instructions and then continue playing. Don't forget to remove the cards with the crossed out symbol from the game after using them. Scroll. Move your piece up to 2 times onto an adjacent space. Ignore those spaces' requirements. You can't move onto an occupied space or onto a mountain space. Hunter. Take 1 gold coin. You can never own more than 3 gold coins at one time. Then you may remove 1 card from your hand from the game. Gatherer, take 1 gold coin. You can never own more than 3 gold coins at one time. Then you may draw 1 card. Treasure map, take 1 gold coin. You can never own more than 3 gold coins at one time. Move your expedition onto any adjacent space. Ignore that space's requirements. You can't move onto an occupied space or onto a mountain space. Tracker, move your piece up to 2 times onto an adjacent 1 power space, single symbol, including demon spaces. You cannot use this to move onto spaces with more than 1 symbol. You may also use this to remove blockades with one symbol. Explorer's Hat. Take 3 gold coins. You can never own more than 3 gold coins at one time. During this turn, if you buy a card, you may choose from any face-up pile. Outfitter. Pay up to 3 gold coins. Move your piece that many times onto an adjacent space. Example, pay 2 gold coins to move 2 spaces. Ignore those spaces' requirements. You can't move onto an occupied space or onto a mountain space. And that is the rulebook for Quest for El Dorado, the Golden Temples. I have a lot to say about this rulebook. Layout is fine, but there were a couple words missing or added that didn't make any sense. And at the end of one sentence, after the period, there was just the letter Q. Just sitting there, just chilling. The other problem I had was one of the spaces that has, it's like a box around a thing of text. The text starts out in one font, and then it doesn't change fonts actually, but it does change sizes. It gets weirdly larger after the symbol is implanted into the text. So very much a rushed rulebook, it seems, but otherwise very clear, very easy to understand. I was surprised in the glossary that they made no mention of blue cards that help you move across water, because that is one of the main types, but they did mention green cards, so I was a little confused why the blue ones were left out. I really enjoy this game. I think that Golden Temples has a really fun dynamic of traversing one way and then having to go back that same way. So it's not just like a one and done type thing. You have to keep cards in order to get back. You can't just be like, okay, I passed this section, I'm good. You're never good. The torches are really fun. I do really like how those were added. I was surprised to see that there are no discard cards from hand to your discard pile type spaces in this game as there are in the original base game. This was more about destroying cards than discarding them. And by destroy, I mean setting them out of the game. Do not actually destroy the cards. While the game is good on its own, combining with the base game can kind of be perfection. It's a little longer for sure. It's definitely a little bit more of a time, but it's very fun to get through the jungle, build your way, and get to the temple, and then actually explore it and ransack it to get to the treasure room. It feels very thematic, and it just feels like a complete journey. Although going through the forest and just ending at the temple also felt like a complete journey, this one just like completes it even more. And obviously, just ransacking the temple is also very good. One interesting thing I found was that the combined game, only 2 temples are used instead of 3, like they are in the base game. Because in the base game, you collect 3 gems. This one, you only collect 2. I'm pretty sure I knew this at one point, but at some point when I started making combined maps, I just put all 3 back out. Because why not? That's also something that's really nice about this game, is you can modify it to your preferences. If you want to make it a little longer, you can add more tiles. If you want to make it shorter, you can take some out. If you want to have all 3 temples, no one's really going to stop you. And I will confirm that 3 temples does still work. There's no like particular reason it was 2 temples, but they probably didn't want to extend the game like super long, which is understandable. The new market is also something I have never played with, and I find it really fascinating that you would have limited options from the market next to the market. Which is I'm going to go with the supply, because that just seems like a better phrase. But you have different options among the supply cards, but they're still limited, is very, very interesting. Because when you play it with everything and you have access to everything, you're going to be able to get some good stuff. And it does make the Explorer's Hat a little more powerful, because you have access to all the cards at all times. So you'll be able to get some of them when maybe you shouldn't be able to. So I do like the idea of eliminating cards, and I wish I had known about that one sooner, but now I do, and I'm excited to try it out. One interesting thing I was thinking about while reading this rulebook is that every pile has 3 cards. It's a fascinating number, because for a 2-player game, someone's going to get 2, another person's going to get 1, assuming they're all bought. A 3-player game has a chance of everyone getting 1, and a 4-player game has a chance of missing 1. And so within 4 players, if you open up the space, the card that gets into that space, you may never see. But that is the risk you take in order to gain cards that you want or gain good cards that you need. I really like this game at four players because I find that that dynamic is just so much more interesting than everybody getting one of every card. Because with one of every card, although you make different decisions, technically speaking, you can have very, very similar decks. You can't do a perfect mimic because if your draw pile and all of your hands are drawn the same, I think I would be scared for my life, because in my brain, that's not how randomness works, but I know it is actually how randomness works. But being able to consistently have the same hand as everyone else every turn seems a little wild. And even if that did happen, your starting positions make it so you are forced to make other choices because you cannot take the exact same route as somebody else. This will require you to go through different terrain or perhaps need higher values or a bunch of low ones. It really does change the game a lot, just having that variety of paths. I know more recently we've liked to play with branching paths that like branch off in two directions and then converge back together, because then it's even more of a choice of like the which route do you take? Do you take the high road or the low road, for lack of a better example? And when you do these things, what are the benefits of each route? What are the detriments? There's so many options and so many choices. I do like that so many spaces remove cards from the game, because being able to cultivate your deck, getting rid of the not so good cards in order to consistently draw the better ones is a strategy I always love, but I also find it somewhat difficult to do in base game. You have to have a right combination of everything in order to do that, and you can go too lean. There was a deck that I had that only had four cards, and that might have been an extreme I shouldn't have gone to. But the ability to cull your deck and just make it stronger and stronger and stronger, I think is really important in a deck builder, because if you have too much chaff, it just gets difficult to manage. Not to say that decks that just keep growing and growing and growing can't be fun. It's just a very different experience for like optimization versus variety. But overall, I think that Quest for El Dorado Golden Temples is a fun game. I do enjoy playing it, and it's probably up there for one of my favorite Nitzia games, because I do love a deck builder that also has a board that you can interact with. And while just having cards is interesting, being able to have cards that impact a different thing just makes it feel like that next level of interesting. Thanks for listening. If you like what you hear, make sure to check out MCG on other social media platforms or go to madecraftgame.com for more content. And I hope you enjoy playing the game.